greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on story time when we come back. You know, people call the law school regularly and they ask how they can learn more about the topics that I speak on over the air. Every topic that I cover here on the air, I teach in detail in one of my classes. These classes are tailored for busy people in every walk of life, people just like you. For example, when we talk about the origin of the common law, how is the common law applicable today and how do we use the common law in court? How do we use the common law out on the street or at home or at work? Where did it come from? And of what value is the common law in the 21st century? Well, the common law is important because it affects your status, and your status is how you're being taxed. And it's important because it affects your property or your lack of property. The common law lesson is the first of 46 lessons in my tax and status school. And we have three basic goals, and that's first, stay out of jail. Second, save your assets. And third, solve that tax problem once and for all. If you want to live your life peaceably and be left alone, then this tax and status class is tailored just for you. Why don't you write, call, or wire me, that's George Gordon, and just ask for my free general law CD package, and I'll show you why the common law is so important to you and in so many different ways. Now, if you'd like more information about our tax and status school, call and order our free general law CD package. That's the place to start. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and it's free of charge. And you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Our tax and status school is also available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click on the email. Send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. Or call us direct at 417-273-4967. You know, education, of and by itself, is one of those visceral, emotional, exciting, political topics that people really get excited about. We Americans believe in public education like we invented it here. There's nothing in our Constitution about public education. In fact, public education didn't get started in this country until 1836, I believe it was, in Boston, Massachusetts. It was those New England liberal kooks up there that got onto this public school thing. And remember, that was about 10 years before the Communist Manifesto. And then along comes Karl Marx with the Communist Manifesto in 1848. And then the first state in the Union that really amounted to something was California. In 1886, California adopted the public school system. Well, how did people get educated in the United States of America, you know, before the public school system came on board? Now, the first serious public school system in this country, I mean serious system, was California, started in 1886. What did we do in this country in 1820? What did our founding fathers do? Before there was public school, how did George Washington get educated? Or did you think he was a savage dragging his knuckles on the ground, you know, because he was still evolving? You know, George Washington was a pretty knowledgeable guy, wasn't he? How about Patrick Henry and Ben Franklin and George Mason, you know, the founders and the signers of the Declaration of Independence? Where did they get educated if they didn't go to public school? You know, here in America today, we believe that public school is the greatest thing since sliced white bread, that without public school, like vaccinations, you know, that mankind would die out. Why we would cease to exist without public school. There could be no education. There could be no science or technology. Excuse me. But did you know that before there was public school, there was education? And that after public school, we left education and went into indoctrination. Now, there's quite a little difference here between indoctrination and education. Now, I'm an educator, and here at the Gordon Law School, we concentrate on education. And education says that there's two sides to every coin. Now, I'm not an evolutionist, but I'm not opposed to evolution. I'm not here telling you, you should not read an evolution book. See, what the evolutionists do, they say you should not hear of special creation in public school. You ought not to be educated to an alternative to evolution. They're dead set opposed to that. You should not have the Bible in public school. Well, now, that's the difference between education and indoctrination. Indoctrination is where you teach one side. This is the truth. And that's what's wrong with religion. See, religion, of and by itself, is indoctrination. I mean, you don't go into your local, you know, your local Catholic catechism class and have the priest, you know, sit there and explain to you Protestantism and why all these Protestants left the church. I mean, he'll say something derogatory about, you know, these guys are all going to hell because they have given up the only name under heaven whereby men may be saved. You know, that, I mean, they'll tell you that. Baptists will do that. Religion is indoctrination. It's not education. We're not educating anybody to religion, the Bible, to God. We are indoctrinating you into our very narrow belief system. And public school does the same thing. And if you want people to believe a certain doctrine, well, then what you do is you indoctrinate them. That's what doctrine means. It's to indoctrinate you into this belief system. Now, a good classical education was where we took a look at the Catholics and the Protestants and discovered that both of them have their heads up the wrong end of their anatomy. And then we come to some other conclusion. Or we take a look at the creation from Genesis 1, 2, and 3, and we compare that to evolutionary philosophy, and then we apply science to both, and then we come to a conclusion. And most people, you know, are opposed, absolutely opposed to the Bible. They don't know why, but they are. And it comes from their indoctrination. Well, a guy by the name of Jonas Yoder was a very important fellow. Yoder, he's an Amish guy. He's a very important fellow in this whole controversy of indoctrination versus education. Now, remember, he's a religious guy. He's an Amish man, and he wants to indoctrinate his children into his Amish religion, his Amish culture, his Amish lifestyle. And the Amish people are very good at doing that. I mean, here are people that are running around in society today that speak English. They read and write the English language. They can pick up and read an English book in English. And yet they drive around in horses and buggies, and they don't have automobiles and chainsaws. And they dress real funny. You ever notice how these Amish guys dress? You know, kind of strange. Don't have any zippers. They used to have buttons. Okay, now we think they're kind of quaint, and we look at them and we say, well, these guys are kind of nutso, aren't they? How do they do that generation after generation? How do they get their children to reject automobiles? I mean, would you want to give up your driver's license and your car for a horse and buggy? Well, you know, the Amish people have been very successful in indoctrinating their children into their religious ideology. And the state has been very successful in indoctrinating you to the use of the automobile and driver's license and paying income tax and Social Security. The Amish reject Social Security. They reject the income tax. They reject government. They don't vote. They don't hold public office. See, all of the things that you do, they don't. And all of the things that they do, you don't. I mean, how do you get people to do that? Well, you indoctrinate them. That's the way you do that. You don't educate them. And this guy, Jonas Yoder, was a classic case. He comes up in the Supreme Court reports about 1978 or 79, long in there. This guy, Yoder, is sending his kids to the children to the Wisconsin school, the Amish school. See, the Amish have their own schools. And they educate their children to the eighth grade. And then when they get to be about, you know, 14 years old, about the time they finish the eighth grade, they stop educating. They don't send them to high school. They don't have a problem with evolution. They don't teach evolution in their schools. They don't have a problem with Johnny can't read. I've never met an Amish man who can't read and write. They only go to the eighth grade. The Amish don't have any problems with reading, writing, and arithmetic. None. All these problems that you people hear about, you know, where the Amish kid can't read his diploma. He doesn't have a diploma to read. But if he had one, he could read it. The Amish guy can. He only went to the eighth grade. Isn't that crazy? And the Amish, you know, they pay for their own schools in their own areas, and they pay $9,000 a kid to educate them either. They're paying a few hundred bucks to educate their kids. Their kids can all read and write. They're all smart as whips. There's not a dumb Amish man I ever run across. Never met one yet. Those Amish guys can all count. In fact, among Christians, they're the only Christians that can count. That they don't have debt. They don't pay usury and interest. I mean, they're really wild. Amish guys. We got a bunch of them down here in our neck of the woods. They're about 50, 60 miles from here, but there's quite a little bunch of them. I thought I'd tell you the story of this Jonas Yoder, because this Yoder guy, as wild and crazy as these Amish guys are, jerked his kids out of the public school, that is the Amish public school. I mean, they call these public schools, you know, but only the Amish kids go to them. I don't think you'd want to send your kid to an Amish school with an Amish teacher now, would you? And have your kid indoctrinated into Amish philosophy and Amish religion and Amish, you know, these guys are weirdos. You wouldn't want that. I'm not quite sure why it is that we're so opposed to these Amish people. They can read and write. They only go to the eighth grade. They're smarter than anybody that comes out of the public schools. Well, most people that come out of the public schools with a high school diploma. I mean, if your kid's got a high school diploma and he came in to my shop and said he's looking for a job, and an Amish kid came in and said, I just went to the eighth grade, I'd hire that Amish kid in a heartbeat. I'd hire him over any high school graduate. I guarantee you he'd make a hell of a lot better employee. No doubt in my mind. So, this guy Yoder jerks his kid out of public school. Now, up in Wisconsin, they decided they needed to do something about that, and so they did. They went after this guy Yoder, and they prosecuted him. They prosecuted him because in Wisconsin, you have to send your kid to public school until he's 18 years old. 18. No, I'll take that back. 16 years old. 16. 18 is where you get your high school diploma. That make you a senior. 16, you're just, you finish your sophomore year. I'll take that back. But you gotta send him to 2 years of high school. And the Amish people don't want to do that. See, they don't have high schools of their own with Amish teachers. And besides that, the Amish people are farmers, and they need to teach those children how to buck bales, milk cows, plow fields. I mean, you know, these kids have to learn farming. And so the best way to do that, at least this is their thinking, is to take the kid out of public school and put him to work on the farm so that he can learn the practical application. I mean, these Amish guys are really phenomenal. They can build houses and barns in a day. I mean, they're just, there's nothing like them. They build a barn, a huge barn over in Iowa some years back now, but I mean, this was a huge barn, big barn. Built it in one day. 600 Amish guys came out with their horses and buggies. They don't have any skill saws. They don't have any table saws. They don't have power equipment at all. I mean, these guys are something else. They just come out there with their hand saws and their braces and bits and all of their mortise and tenons. And God, they just built this barn and I'll build it in a day. My question was, and I'm an old-timey general contractor, how in the hell do you organize 600 people on a job site? I can't do that. I haven't got a clue as to how these Amish guys do that, and I don't think anybody else out here does either, but boy, they can do that, and they do it, and do it regularly. Well, anyway, they want to teach their children how to do things like that, how to build a barn in a day, how to build a house in a day. They don't want to waste a lot of time, and they don't. And then they teach their children to work. I mean, that's a crazy thing, you know, instead of teaching their kids how to play video games down at the video arcade, down at Battlefield Mall, and smoke dope and chase girls and lay the neighbor girl in the back of their Chevy van. They don't want their kids learning that crap. They want them to learn how to work and how to be industrious, thrifty, prosperous. I mean, the Amish people are the only people in the world that I know of that will go to an auction and pay $400,000 for a farm and open an attaché case and pay for it with $100 bills. I just walk up there and pay cash, $400,000, and buy a farm. They got it in $100 bills. I've never heard of anybody else being able. Now, can you Catholics and Protestants and Jews make that claim? Can you do that? Can any of you Catholics, Protestants, or Jews build a house in a day? Can your kid read his diploma? Can your kid read? Well, you know, people in America, they believe in public schools. The Amish guys, evidently they don't. Well, anyway, this guy, Yoder, now he's prosecuted. He comes into court and he says, well, because we're Amish and because we believe in hard work and so on, we've got our community, we've got our lifestyle, we've got our ways of doing things over here. Well, the judge listened to the case and he found Yoder guilty of contributing to the delinquency of his minor children, you know. Had two children, I don't know, a boy and a girl, I think it was. Took him out of school in the eighth grade and fined him $5. So the judge wasn't too hard on him. I mean, he fined him $5, found him guilty. But Yoder thought it was wrong. He said, now, you know, there's something wrong with this. We Amish people pay our taxes, and we Amish people work hard, and we support ourselves, and we're not a burden on the rest of society and the community, and we think that we're pretty good Americans, and we don't think that we ought to be singled out by the school board over here in Wisconsin, or by the public school system, and ridiculed and impugned and made fun of, and then prosecuted and fined. Whether it's $5 or $500 or $5,000 is irrelevant. We think that's wrong. So Yoder appealed, and the case went clear to the U.S. Supreme Court. Went to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court came back with a decision in Yoder's favor. Yoder and the Amish people are exempted from sending their children to school until they're 16 years old. The rest of us have to send our children to public school until they're 16, or we have to homeschool them, or we have to do something. Now, the question arises, well, why are these Amish people exempted? Well, the state of Wisconsin came into the Supreme Court, and here was their argument. They said, if these Amish children aren't educated in the public schools, like all the rest of the good little boys and girls in Wisconsin, they'll end up on welfare. They will be social misfits that will be unable to make a living in life, and they'll end up on welfare. Or worse, they'll become criminals. They'll go to prison. They'll become criminals because they won't be able to make a living and they can't get on welfare, or if they get on welfare and they're unable to make as much money as the educated people in our community. Or they'll end up in the insane asylum. I mean, they'll go crazy. They'll be nutsos. They'll be social outcasts. And they're not going to fit into society. That was the government's argument. They said, you know, public education's necessary and imperative. It's important. And if you don't have it, why, God knows the social consequences and the social fallout that's going to come from these Amish people. Let me ask you this. Most of you people don't even know what the hell an Amish man is, much less what their problems are. But if you had any, you know, if you're living in an area up in Pennsylvania or Ohio or here in Missouri, around the, have you ever heard of any problems with the Amish? Down here, we have never heard of a single problem with any, at least I haven't. Now, maybe you've heard of some problems with Amish people that I haven't, but I have never heard of any problems. The Amish people around here seem to be able to feed themselves, clothe themselves, and house themselves. And so the Amish, from their point of view, they came into the Supreme Court with their briefs. You know, they had their lawyers and briefs. And brief, that means that you write up a little short story and you tell the judge your side of the story. And so the Amish guys, they came in after the state said, well, if your children aren't educated in high school, they're going to end up on welfare. So the Amish people, they came into the Supreme Court and they asked the state of Wisconsin, well, here in the state of Wisconsin, how many Amish people do you have on the welfare rolls? And so the Wisconsin authorities, they looked that statistic up, and they looked, and they looked, and they looked, and they found this fact, that there was not one single Amish person on welfare in the entire state of Wisconsin in 1979. In fact, I think if they'd have gone back in time and in history, they'd have probably found that there's never been an Amish man or woman or child that's ever been on the welfare rolls in the state of Wisconsin. I'll go a step further. I'll bet you if you people were to look it up in the state of Pennsylvania, where you got all these Amish people, or Ohio, or Michigan, or Missouri, I'll bet you that you'll never find an Amish person on welfare, because that's what they found in the Yoder case. I mean, they looked it up, and they found that there wasn't a single Amish person on welfare in the state of Wisconsin. And they looked. That's amazing. I mean, can you Catholics say that? Are you Protestants or Jews? Can you say that there's never been a Jew on welfare? Never been a Catholic on welfare in Wisconsin. See, and they couldn't. So the Amish guys went a step further and they said, now, of all of the people that are on welfare in the state of Wisconsin, have those people been educated in public school? And they took a look, and they found that all of the people in Wisconsin who were on the welfare rolls, every single one of them, had been educated in public school. Isn't that just special? Not a single Amish guy on welfare, and everybody that was on welfare had been educated in public school. All right, now that was quite a telling statistic, wouldn't you think? But it went further than that. Remember, the state in their argument said, why, if these people aren't educated in the public schools, if they don't have a high school education, why, they'll end up in prison. So the Amish people asked the state to look into that. And they said, now take a look in the prison system. You're claiming that if we don't educate our children in your schools, that they're going to end up in prison. Would you please look into your prison system and report back to us and tell us how many Amish people do you have in the prison system in Wisconsin? So the authorities in Wisconsin, to answer the court's inquiry, looked at the entire prison system in Wisconsin. They couldn't find a single Amish guy in there. I mean, they looked in the county jails. They looked in the state penitentiary. They looked everywhere. They looked high, they looked low. They couldn't find a single Amish guy. They couldn't find a single Amish woman in jail in the entire state. So the Amish guy's not wanting to be left out totally. They said, now, of all the people that you do have in the prison system here in Wisconsin, how many of them were educated in public school? And they looked at every single one of them. Men and women who are locked up in the state of Wisconsin, every single one of them had been educated in public school. No Amish guys, just Catholics, Protestants, and Jews locked up in the state pen. Now remember, they said, this is the state now, they said, if these children, these Amish children are not educated in high school here in Wisconsin, they'll end up in the mental hospital. So the Amish guy said, okay, we'll take a look at your mental hospitals here in Wisconsin and report back to us and tell us how many Amish people do you have locked up in the mental hospitals. So they looked at their mental hospitals and they asked everybody, are you an Amish guy? No, no. Are you a Catholic, Protestant, or Jew? Yep. So they couldn't find a single Amish guy locked up in the mental hospitals of Wisconsin. So the Amish guys came back and they said, well, of the people that you do have locked up in your mental hospitals, how many of them have attended public school? And the answer was every single one of them. So what they found was in Wisconsin, every single person who was in the mental hospitals of Wisconsin, who was on the welfare rolls of Wisconsin, who was in the penitentiary in Wisconsin, all of them had been educated in public school. Now, the Amish guys, being pretty broad-minded, didn't come back and say, now, that's proof positive that if you educate a child in public school, he will end up on the welfare rolls, he will end up in prison, or he will end up in a mental hospital. They didn't go that far. But the Supreme Court of the United States did come back with this conclusion. And their conclusion was that if you educate somebody in an Amish school, he is not more likely to end up on the welfare rolls in the penitentiaries or in the mental asylums. Now, I thought that was pretty intelligent on the part of our Supreme Court. And I thought I would report that story to you. It's called the Jonas Yoder story. I'm not advocating that you become an Amish man, but I would suggest that we could learn a hell of a lot more from the Amish than we can learn from public school. Now that's my conclusion. And with that, we're at about the halfway point, so let me pause right here and remind you that you are listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily, and if you'd like more information about the Law School or The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through our website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Please be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, let me write down here the Yoder story. So I'll write that down and mark that one off. I always thought that was a pretty good story. Now, I had a student here one time by the name of Joe Fillmore. He's a general contractor, old Joe. Hell of a nice guy. And he had a little girl. She's about, I don't know, 6, 8 years old. And he came to school here and he said, you know, I don't want to send my kid to public school. I want to send my kid to private school. In fact, I want to homeschool my little girl. So I ran through that with him, and I said, that's fine. And that's, I think, a pretty wise choice. I never did care too much for public schools. I charged $9,000 a year, and the kid can't read and write when he gets out of public school. I didn't think that was too good. So he wanted to educate his child here in the homeschool environment over here. So he lived in a little town. He lived out in the country, actually. But he lived close to a little town called Coffeyville, Kansas. You might remember Coffeyville. I think that's where Jesse James rode into town and robbed the bank. Coffeyville, Kansas. Well, it's still there. Old Coffeyville is. And old Joe, he lived over there near Coffeyville. He had 40 acres. And he's a general contractor. And he's living his life and doing his thing and educating his child at home. Just kind of doing things at home. Well, one day he got a call from the local school district over there, and they said, hey, your kid ain't enrolled in the public school system, and you have to have a, you know, your child has to be in public school, and blah, blah, blah. And they, so old Joe, having gone to law school, and he's pretty good litigator, old Joe is. So he went into the school board, and they gave him quite a bit of static, he reported to me. He said, you know, they were really adamant about that. Now, in case you want to know why it is that the school district is pretty adamant about your child going to public school, it's because every child in public school costs about 56 bucks a day. Now, this is back a few years ago. Now, they go to school 180 days a year times $56. That's $10,080. $10,080, which is about right. It's about $9,000. Now, back in those days, it was a little less than that. But Joe did a little research, and he said, the kids over here in Kansas, they're costing 56 bucks a day. Now, the state, they have some money that goes into educating your kid. The county, they've got some money that goes into educating your child. And the federal government ponies up some money to educate your child in that local school. And it's around $9,000 average around the country. And Joe reported to me at 56 bucks a day. Now, every day your kid's out of the public school, I mean, you got a kid. He's school age, but he's not going to public school. He's going to private school. He's going to homeschool. He's costing that school district $56 a day, because if he was enrolled in the public school, that school would be receiving $56 a day to educate that kid. So every kid's worth 56 bucks a day. So if you want to know why it is that the school officials are real concerned about your kid not attending school, it doesn't have anything to do about Johnny can't read, or we're just real concerned about your kid turning out stupid. Just like I reported with Jonas Yoder. Those two Yoder kids, if they're in high school, are worth 50 bucks a day per kid. That's $100 a day. And when he takes them out of school and educates them to buck and bales and Amish philosophies and Amish education at home, that they're losing that kind of money. That's what the bottom line is in education. It's the money. It doesn't have anything to do with your kid reading. In fact, if you send your kid to public school, he'll score on average at the 50th percentile. If you educate him at home, he'll score at the 86th percentile. Your kid, on average, is going to score a hell of a lot better in your home school at home. And if you send him to a parochial school, he's going to be at the 80th percentile. If you educate him in an inner city public school, it'll be the 28th percentile. I mean, they're really poor in the inner cities. And what they keep telling you here is that you need to give them more money and smaller classes. The Amish people don't have a problem. And the last I heard, the parochial school system here in America, nobody's complaining about Johnny can't read coming out of the Catholic or the Baptist or the Lutheran schools. My children went to parochial school. They can all read. They can all write. I'm not complaining. I homeschooled them and a parochial schooled them and some of them I even sent to public school some of the time. I put them all through a good education program. All of my children can read and write. I'm not complaining. The only thing I ever complained about was the public school system. I thought it sucked. It sucked 50 years ago. It sucked 30 years ago. It sucks today. I mean, if you want your kid to turn out dumb, send him to public school. It's a proven program. You can't do better than the public school to dumb your kid down. If you want a kid that can't read, can't write, can't think, and is totally useless as tits on a boar hog, send him to public school. You can't lose. So old Joe, he's educating his little girl here at home. Doing his thing. And the school board's raising hell with him. So he went in and he said, listen, if you don't like what I'm doing over here educating my kid at home, why don't we litigate? Let's take this to trial. Let's take this to the Supreme Court if we need to. I'm ready to litigate. And when he walked in and he said, let's litigate, they got to talking it over and said, maybe we don't want to do that. Because, you know, if you got to litigate, well, then it costs money. And when you walk in and you tell somebody, you know, if you're not happy with my performance, you're not happy with my program, why don't you sue me? And then let's take it on up through the appellate process like Jonas Yoder. Now, to take a case to the U.S. Supreme Court costs about $250,000. It's not cheap. You know, by the time you hire your attorneys and one thing and another, about $200,000 gets thrown away. And school boards, they have to hire lawyers to do that. They don't want to spend $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 to find out why it is, you know, unless you're a Yoder, you know, and then you get fined $5 and you take it up through the appellate process. You know, schools aren't stupid. They want to intimidate you into sending your kid to public school. They don't want to litigate with you. You tell them, hell no, I won't go, and you'll find out that in the final analysis, they'll probably back off and leave you alone. That's what they did to Joe over here. They just backed off and left him alone. Now, there's an important reason for that. Joe Fillmore's kid did not have a social security number. She did not have a birth certificate. And Joe informed the school authorities of those two facts. My child doesn't have a birth certificate, number one. Doesn't have a social security number, number two. You don't have any obligation to educate that child because that child belongs to me. And they decided that, well, maybe he's got a point there. And besides that, we don't want to spend the money. Some time goes by. I don't know how much. Year, two, three, four, 5 years. I don't know. Anyway, this little girl gets to be 10, 12 years old. And Mrs. Fillmore has got a belly full of homeschooling, and old Joe's talking to me one day and on the telephone, and he said, we want to send our kid to public school. And I said, well, that's quite a change, Joe. He said, yeah, but, you know, she's getting to be kind of a problem here at home, and she's not happy with homeschool, and she wants to go to public school with her friends and one thing or another, and we think it'd probably be a good idea for her to go to public school for a year or two, so until she gets her head screwed on straight. And so I'm going to send her to public school. I said, Joe, did you get a birth certificate for the little girl? I said, no. I said, Joe, did you get a social security number for the little girl? And he said, no, I didn't. And I said, well, Joe, you can't send your child to public school. The state has no duty. The state has no obligation to educate your child. The state only educates the state's child in the state's school. He said, yeah, I know that. Yeah, I went to school. I understand that. But he said, I don't want to get a birth certificate, and I don't want to get a social security number, and I want to educate my child in the state school system. And he said, I am a taxpayer. I pay county property tax. And more than 70% of my county property tax goes to education. And I think it's unjust enrichment on the part of the school district over here to take money from me and then not educate my child. I said, Jesus, Joe, that raises a hell of a neat question as to equal protection and due process and unjust enrichment. I said, that is a real constitutional confrontation. Now, for some of you lay people out there, you may not understand what this birth certificate's all about, but it's called passing your seed through the fire to Moloch. It's strictly prohibited in Leviticus 20, verses 1 through 5. It's an old pagan custom of giving your child to a foreign and alien god. Here in America, we give all of our children to the state. We cede title to the state on our child. So what that means is that the state owns your child, and that's why they enact these laws that require you to educate your child here in the public school. It's because that's the state's child, and you're the state's babysitter, babysitting the state's child. I mean, they don't want to raise it and spend money on it. They want you to give them your kid, and then they want you to educate them and put braces on her teeth and then pay all the bills. That's the way that works. And so anyway, I said, that's a hell of a story. I mean, you're going to take your kid into the public school. Well, call me and let me know how it goes. He takes his kid into the public school, so I want to register my kid for public school. And I said, okay. And what's this child's birth date? And he says, no birth date. We're religious objectors. And they said, well, where's the child's birth certificate? No birth certificate because we're religious objectors. Well, where's the girl's social security number? No social security number. We're religious objectors. And they informed him very straight out. No birth certificate, no social security number, no birth date, no school. How do you like that? Which is precisely correct. Exactly correct. Legally, the school district is exactly correct. But, and I got to tell you this, here in Ozark County, 80% of our local taxes, I mean, I got to pay my property taxes, 80% of my property taxes goes to the public school. Think of that. The entire public budget for Ozark County, 80% goes to public education, 20% goes to roads and potholes and county commissioners and all the rest of county government, whatever it costs to run this county, they get 20 cents out of every dollar, and the schools get 80 cents out of every dollar. It was the same thing over there in Coffeyville, Kansas. Old Joe said it was 70%. When I was up in Idaho, it was 75%. Now, you take a look at your local county budget, and you're going to find out that about 70 or 75 or 80% of every dollar you pay in county taxes is going to public education. And your kid still can't read and he still can't write. And you got the poorest education system and you pay the most money. That's why I came to the conclusion, the more money you pay, the dumber your kid will become. If you want a kid that's totally incompetent, double your present school budget and they'll work on that for you. Well, anyway, they said, well, this kid ain't going to school. Joe went into the principal. He said, now, we're going to have to litigate this because I pay 70% of my tax dollars to support this school. And I got a kid 12 years old, and you've got a discriminatory policy against Hebrews. You have a religious test that if I don't subscribe to your religious beliefs, that you're not going to educate my child. And one of my religious tenets and beliefs is I'm opposed to Social Security and I'm opposed to birthdays. I'm opposed to state ownership of my child. And you're taxing me. You're taking my money. That's unjust enrichment. And if you don't register my kid and educate my child in this public school, we're going to litigate this just like Yoder versus Wisconsin. We're going to the U.S. Supreme Court and find out why and whether you can do that. So the principal, not being a dummy, you know, he went to the school board and he said, this guy Fillmore over here, he was a lawyer. This guy Fillmore has been to law school. Now, he isn't practicing law. He's a general contractor. But this guy's got a law school education. And he says he's going to take this to the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, that's going to cost us $250,000 to find out whether or not we have to educate his kid here in this public school, since we're taking 70 cents out of every tax dollar that he's paying. School board, they got to, you know, mulling that over a little bit. And so they went to their legal counsel, you know, and they said, hey, legal counsel, what do you think? Do we have to educate this kid? You know, they've got rules there, you know, no Social Security number, no birth date, no birth certificate, no registration for public school. And just test it. I mean, just take your kid in to have him registered next year and tell him no birth certificate, no Social Security number. And they're going to tell you, if you don't have that, you got to go get it. And if you don't have it, we're not going to educate him and blah, blah, blah. Okay. So anyway, they got to mulling it over. And when they came back with their decision, they said, we're going to accept your child here in the public school. And so they educated the Fillmore girl without a Social Security number, without a birth certificate, and without a birth date. I know, it's kind of wild, kind of crazy. Most people in America celebrate their birthdays. You know, a birthday is the highest holy day of a witch or a warlock. It's a practice that comes from witchcraft. And Americans all practice birthdays. Americans all practice witchcraft. Love it. In fact, it's one of your identifiers. When the policeman asks you for identification, he wants three things. He wants your name, he wants your birth date, and he wants your Social Security number. Name, birth date, and Social Security number. That's how well-placed and well-ingrained witchcraft is here in this country. Well, anyway, here's an exciting story about Joe Fillmore educating his child in the public school without two of those identifiers, a birth date, birth certificate, or a Social Security number. Now, years before that, I have a boy, you know my boy Ted, you know, the little kid, you know, with no vaccinations. Yeah. Well, he didn't have any vaccinations when he was going to school either. Well, when he got out of the 8th grade and went up to the 9th grade, I was running the Barristers Inn Law School up in Boise, Idaho. And I wanted to test a legal issue there in the public school system. So I told my wife, and I said, I think I'll take Ted up and register him for high school. So we went tripping up to the high school, and we walked in, and they wanted to know some information here on his application for high school. And so we filled out the application. And so as we filled out the application, we left out the birth date, we left out the Social Security number, and so when they got to that, said, well, we got to have a Social Security number and we have to have a birth date. And I said, why? Are you going to send this kid Social Security benefits? And they said, no. But he has to have that number. If he doesn't have that number, we can't register him. And I said, well, he doesn't have one, we're not going to get one. And we're religious objectors. They want to know what his birth date was. And I said, well, we're not practicing witchcraft either, and he doesn't have a birth date, and we don't celebrate birth dates, and we're not going to give that to you. And she was just distressed. I mean, this is the registrar. She was physically distressed. Dripping venom, by the way. And she went back and she talked to her supervisor, and the supervisor came back and informed me that that child couldn't be registered for public school. And I said, well, okay, but I just wanted you to know that I'm here today, and I'm here to register my boy. He's not going to go, I guess, but we're going to send him. And when he gets here on Monday morning, and you send him home, I'm not going to do a thing until you come to the conclusion that you're not getting paid for him, until you come to the conclusion that you're going to prosecute, or until some issue comes up that we have to litigate. And when we have to litigate, you're known as the proximate cause of your own injury. And that's what we're going to litigate. Why do you have this discriminatory policy against the suspect classification of persons known as Hebrews? And so they went back and they mulled that over a little bit. And you know, my boy Ted, he got enrolled with no social security number, and he didn't have a birth date either. So I just thought I'd share that one with you. So that can be done. Now, if your kid has a social security number, which almost all of them do, well then, you have to use it because of Miller versus California. But if your child doesn't have a birth certificate, then he doesn't have to go get one. That's the point. Social Security is voluntary. Now, a guy by the name of Everett Sullivan, he's a Baptist pastor. He gained renown as the Nebraska preacher who went to jail rather than to license his school. Now, in a talk that he gave to a Missouri congregation, he said, now, many people have asked me, how did they get you in jail? Now, let me say this, and it may shock you, but I personally was never charged with anything. And I've never been charged with breaking the law. I've never been charged with committing a crime. And I've never had a trial. So you may ask me again, how in the world did they get you in jail? Well, I may not know much about your church, and I may hit you hard here, but I'm finding that this is one of the things that God wants me to tell churches. They sued the corporation. Now, I don't know if your church is incorporated or not, but if it is, then you better listen up. When a church incorporates, it becomes a creature of the state, and its officers become agents of the state. And the agents and the officers and the corporation have no constitutional rights. And by the way, if you take a license out for anything, you lose your constitutional right for the thing that you took the license out for. Now I'm going to give you a real shocker. And I don't like to do this because it makes me look so ridiculous. But you see, we've learned some things. For 6 years, we went down to the legislature and we said to the legislature, give us some relief. Now, I'm glad tonight that I can stand here before you and I can say that they did not give us that relief. And I'm glad that they didn't, because the Constitution says that it's an area that the state shouldn't be involved in the first place. But as we testified before the committee, the parents would testify and they'd weep and they'd say, oh, these are our little children. God gave us these little children and we're responsible for them. You know, as they'd look across the table at those senators. Well, Senator Pfeiffer, who is a young man about 38 years old, he's an attorney and he's a legislator. And he was on the subcommittee. He was on the education subcommittee. And as the parents were testifying, Mr. Pfeiffer looked back across the table and he said to this one young mother who had just completed her testimony, he asked her this question. He said, do you have a state marriage license? And she said, well, yes, I do. And Senator Pfeiffer then said, well, hasn't anybody ever told you that a marriage license is a privilege from the state, and that every child born to a family with a state marriage license is a ward of the state? Have you ever been asked that question? Did you know that if you have a state marriage license, do you know that if your child has a birth certificate, that your child is a ward of the state? Well, Senator Peter Hoagland was on a television show with me debating the issue when he said to me on that show, or what he said to me on that show, was repeated by the head of the state PTA. and by the Executive Director of the State School Board Association, and by the Executive Director of the Teachers Union. Four people said the same thing. We were on Channel 6, live at 5 and in Omaha, Nebraska. And so the moderator looked over at me and she said, well, Pastor Sullivan, only 8 states in the union require licensed schools and certified teachers. Surely, it must not be that important of an issue. And I said, you're right. And there's a way to solve this problem. We call it national standardized testing. We had our students in our private Baptist school tested by the state's own experts. Our school and our students are a full year ahead of the public schools and 2.5 years ahead of the Omaha public schools. That's the inner city schools. We were so good that the judge wouldn't even let us put it in the record. Did you get that, boys and girls? Here's this little Baptist school, unlicensed, without certified teachers. Their children are a year ahead of the state school children in the state of Nebraska, 2.5 years ahead of the Omaha public schools. So she looks over at Senator Hoagland and said, well, Senator, why is the state of Nebraska making such a big deal out of this then? Now listen up, folks. Here's what Senator Peter Hoagland said to the whole listening audience. Senator Hoagland said this, quote, the reason we're making a big deal out of this is because fundamental Bible-believing Christians do not have a right to educate children in their doctrine. Because in the year 2000, America is going to be part of the one-world socialist order, and their children will not fit in. Now, did you get that, boys and girls? That's a state senator up in Nebraska back in 1983 when this issue came up with Pastor Sullivan. Here are these Baptist kids, 2.5 years ahead of the children in the Omaha public school system with unlicensed, uncertified teachers, which is what you're going to be with your homeschool. And Hoagland says, the reason we're making such a big deal out of this is because fundamental Bible-believing Christians do not have a right to educate children in their doctrine. You Christians, pay attention. And that's because in the year 2000, America is going to be part of the one-world socialist order, and their children will not fit in. Now, that was back in 1983. Boys and girls, we are in the one-world socialist order with no child left behind. And Johnny can't read, and he can't write, and he can't spell, and he can't think either, because he's got a public education, a public school education. But the Amish kids can think, and the parochial school children can think, and the homeschooled children can think, and they can all read and write too. All right, so that's that story. We're about out of time again, so I got to remind you that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. And if you'd like more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Again, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, then please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. We got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.